Word of God that I would now see to bring before you this evening will find in Psalm 119, reading verses 49 and 50. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. From their we might know indeed within our soul that we are born again. The teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. When have our souls been quickened into life? I know that the Lord is a sovereign in this, but in this word, the psalmist could declare by the Holy Spirit, for thy word hath quickened me. As we look back over our lives, and we need the Holy Spirit to help us to do this, has there been a word? Have there been those words that God has spoken into our hearts, and in such a way that we have known it to be so? Has the word of God a rest in us? Can we remember when it first arrested us? Can we look back and feelingly have cause to say, the Lord met me there, the Lord spoke to me there? Are those words of holy writ that you humbly believe have been made yours? And if anyone should ask this question at this moment, what do you really mean? Well, may the Lord help me to rightly speak of this. When the word of God is spoken by the Holy Spirit into a poor sinner's heart, that word is written upon the heart, and in some measure at least, the power of truth is known and felt. There is that witness within that it is God's word. I think just for a moment of that day in the 1970s, and he would never have forgotten that day. We know indeed that the Lord Jesus Christ himself came to that spot and place. He looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And in after days, and from that time, Zacchaeus would have been able to speak of this. And he would have said, I am sure, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his great love and mercy to my soul, he came where I was. I went up into a sycamore tree that I might see him out of curiosity, for I knew that he was to pass that way. But he stopped and he looked. He looked at me. And he spoke to me, and he said, come down, for today I must abide at my house. Now they were words that Jesus himself spoke to Zacchaeus, and his soul was quickened in life. From that moment, he began to live. And you can read for yourselves the effect of truth. Immediately in Zacchaeus' life, there was an effect of truth in his heart. There was gracious reformation. He began to live a new life. He began to live that blessed life in the Son of God.
accommodate to the closing days of his life. And then he was taken to be forever with the Lord. I do feel this is a very important point, which we also need to consider. It is one thing to have attended the house of God from our childhood, but oh dear friends, has there been lesser effect from the Word of God within our hearts? When the Lord in His mercy caused His servants born in silence by the direction of the Holy Spirit to go to the riverside in Macedonia, what do we read of Lydia? She knew what it was to be able to say, "For thy word hath quickened me." I will speak rightly for a moment in this, but when a child is conceived in a womb, the day comes when that child is quickened and there begins to be movement. Now, do we know anything then of this spiritual knowledge? Do we know anything of this, that our soul has been quickened? If our souls have been quickened, they will have commenced to move, and that movement will have been toward God. We shall have commenced to know something of this, of this solemn truth, that there is an Almighty God. If we have been brought to Him, if our souls have been quickened, we shall have commenced, we shall have continued to come to Him, feeling our deep need of Him, feeling in measure as the Spirit favors us, to know that we need to be saved with an everlasting salvation. I was just going to mention the case of Lydia for a moment. See, now I've mentioned the occasion when the Lord Himself met with Zacchaeus. But under the gospel dispensation, the Lord has sent forth His servant. He has sent forth the Holy Spirit, whose divine work it is to quicken souls and to make them cry, "Jesus, save me or I die." The Holy Spirit, in that mercy in Christ, was made known by that riverside. And what do we read? Concerning the ministry of Paul, whose name is mentioned particularly, as Paul preached, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to receive His word. The quickening power of the Holy Spirit was known. And then again we have the same message truth, really, as in the life of Zacchaeus. And it is so, it will be so in the lives of every truly quickened sinner whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that are spoken by Paul. So that where there is true quickening into life, there will be an attempt. which the Lord has placed for you, it is centered in this. For thy word hath quickened me. Now desiring that I may not be left to cast any soul down here tonight in an ungracious way on me, I must just repeat this before you. Have you known this quickening power? If you have known this quickening power, it will have brought you as a poor sinner to the mercy seat. It will have brought you to cry for mercy. It will have brought you to seek that you might know him who to know is life eternal. We have a word spoken concerning the Psalms. What did the Lord say to him? I took thee from the sheep, from following the sheep. The Lord quickened David's soul into life. The blessed effects of this are to be seen in the Word of God. And one word that I would just mention, particularly in David's early life, was this. David behaved himself wisely, and the Lord was with him. Now that is an evidence in itself of the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. Because none can behave themselves wisely, only as the Lord has quickened their soul into life. None will desire to do that that is right in the sight of God, only as they possess this heart. So that David himself could speak of this. For thy word hath quickened me. If the Holy Spirit then has quickened our souls into life, then this will have made the Word of God to be very precious to us. It will have made God's Word to be the Word of God in truth. And then to be able to come with the Lord's help to the 49th verse, because it is very evident that the psalmist at this time was in a particular need. He was very burdened before God. And so he comes before his God with this: remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hold. I hope that the Lord will help me to unfold this a little. As the Word of God had quickened the psalmist's soul into life, there had been those occasions when God had spoken to him. To see, to illustrate the point just for a moment, in my own life, on a number of occasions, I'm thinking now of those, the days wherein I trust the Lord met with me and quickened my soul into life. And one of the first effects of that quickening in my own soul was this. I began to really feel, as I never felt before, my need certainly know what it is to feel our need of mercy. We shall have to cry for mercy. And our possession will at times have been centered, I think, in these words, mercy through blood. I make my plea, O God, be merciful to me. But now, as the Lord is pleased to lead his people and to instruct them, he is a sovereign in this. I remember one Saturday morning, the Lord so sovereignly brought these words upon my spirit. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. And at the time, I did not know where those words were found in the Word of God. But those words came over and over and over again. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. And there had been that within me that had been ready to conclude that there was no hope for me, and that there was nothing in me. And even as I think back this evening upon that occasion, I have to say tonight, even in this, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You see, when the Lord speaks by the Holy Spirit's power through his word into poor sinners' hearts, with the word of God, there will spring up gracious hope. These things are linked together. When the Lord speaks to a soul, when his word is made a living word, there is that then that is made known within the soul. There is that I feel that we might speak of as sacred believing. What is it to really believe? Some people speak about believing, I feel, in a very light and trifling kind of way, as though we can manipulate it ourselves. Oh, I believe that true believing in the Word of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is as the Holy Spirit brings home the Word upon the heart. As Christ is revealed to the soul, and as the precious faith is exercised by the Holy Spirit, then there is an embracing of truth. Thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You see, when God's word is sealed home upon the heart by the Holy Spirit, then, at least for a season, there is an embracing of that truth. There is that witness within the soul that that word has been made out. Oh, have you a word that you humbly believe is yours? And even as we might for a moment think of Jacob, when this word was brought upon my spirit as I was traveling here today, my thoughts almost immediately went to Jacob in that 32nd chapter of Genesis. And there's a fulfillment of this word in that chapter. Remember the word. Lord, do not forget the word. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast called me to hope. What was that word? and it's found in the 28th chapter of Genesis. And that word had been spoken to Jacob just over 20 years before the occasion that we've read of together tonight. I feel that it is necessary just for a moment to turn back and to read what the Lord has spoken. Remember the word unto my servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And what was the word that the Lord had spoken to Jacob? And behold, the Lord stood above it, that is the ladder that Jacob saw in the vision, that open way to heaven, the way of Christ Jesus. And behold, the Lord stood above it. And Jacob knew what it was to commune with the Lord himself, and the Lord communed with Jacob. And this is what the Lord said: I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereof thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be filled. I am with them. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have spoken, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee on. Now, the Lord has spoken even such a word as this to anyone in this chapel tonight, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee on. And in the chapter that we read together, over 20 years had passed away, and Jacob was found returning. But where do we find him? We find him really in this word: remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou calledst me to hope. And Jacob at this time was filled with fear. His brother Esau was coming to meet him. Esau had vowed his death. And I'm sure of this, that Jacob in his heart well knew that he deserved it. And it was this that caused him to be so fearful. And we have read tonight, and then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. But what did he say to the Lord? And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. You see, Jacob could say this. Can you say this tonight? Thou saidst. Thou saidst. Have you those two words that you humbly believe, and I would come down to this: have you that word? It might be that there's someone here tonight in distress. You may be in a special need. As I was journeying here today, there was something that came into my thoughts. And it was in this way that the work was given. I was found looking back a little upon a certain thing in my life, and oh, how I felt to need the Lord to confirm that. And I had to say, Lord, do mercifully confirm this. Do favour me to know indeed that this matter was a thing. And it was in that way that the word came. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Do you feel to need this thing or not? You see, Jacob, he came before his God. And in his heart, really, he said this, remember, Lord, remember what thou didst say to me of Bethel. Have you a Bethel? Have you any hope that there has been this in your life? The place where the Lord met with you, as he met with Jacob, the place where the Lord spoke to you in that sovereign way that was pleasing there, that word that perhaps you humbly believe was used to quicken your soul into life, or that word that you believe the Lord gave you, it may have been a promise. It may have been a promise concerning a child. It may have been a promise concerning some matter in your life. Whatever it may have been. And yet to be faithful in this, to have the witness that the Lord has spoken to us. Let me just think of it like this for a moment. Where you are found at this present time in your life. Let us think for a moment of your home. Have you any gracious, well-grounded hope that the Lord provided a home for you? Did you know something of what Isaac knew in his day? You'll remember what happened. For those wells that had been filled in, there was that striving. You see, the time came when there was a well dug. And what was the name of it? The name of it was Rehoboth. And what does that mean? The Lord has made room for us. We shall be fruitful in the land. Could we say then that for our home, that we humbly believe that the Lord provided, and not only that, some of you at least may have had this in such a thing, that the Lord gave you a word, the Lord spoke a word to you concerning that home, so that you looked upon it. And you felt indeed, you knew something of what Abraham knew when he could say this, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see all provide. But perhaps there's some trial upon this. There is some time. Oh, there are those trials. There are those testings. But what a mercy even to be able to say, and the word of God so plainly speaks of this, the bounds of their habitation fix. Oh, how often, and the Lord only knows why, one feels that we must speak like this for a moment this evening, but I feel particularly in our day, We have this. Oh, how many people who in seeking even to find a home to live. People are, we so with us naturally. People will look for a situation that is pleasing to them. They will look for a house that is pleasing to them. They will look for all these things, but oh, how different it is with a burdened child of God. Their exercise in such a thing is this. Oh, Lord, do provide a home for us. Provide a home for me. And there will be that seeking after the Lord to be guided, to be directed, to be led. So that even in this, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast called me to hope. And then I would also think like this for a moment. Those of you here who have your daily employment, that position in your life, I know there are old friends here who have passed this way and who have entered into the evening of their life, their days of labour, in the way that I'm thinking they're over. But our younger friends here tonight, have you any gracious hope that the Lord has placed you where you are? Has the Lord given you your occupation, your sphere in labour? Oh, and did it begin with prayer? Did it begin with God-given exercise? Did it begin with desiring to be led by the Lord? I believe I have mentioned this before, but as it comes into my thoughts, I must mention it again, but on one occasion in my life, when being so burdened with regard to this man, and feeling so to need of thus sent the Lord, to know the Lord's will in what one was to do, and the Lord did give a word, and the word was this, you shall not go out with haste, nor go by night, but the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Now I have to plead that promise. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast called me home. And then, to think for a moment or two concerning our soul. Oh dear friend, what hope have we of eternal life? Have we any well-grounded hope of eternal life? How does the Lord communicate this to his dear people? Well, we try to speak of that quickening work of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bringing their souls into gracious concern. But when there is this gracious concern, there will be this exercise. Have you known me? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Have you had that exercise? Has it often been your prayer? Well, I can assure you of this, that if those of you that have prayed that petition, the substance of that petition, say unto my soul, I am my salvation, the Lord will, he will make known his love and mercy to you. See, what I would seek to close with this evening is this, have we that has been written in our heart concerning our soul's eternal welfare? Has the Lord spoken to our soul with power? Have we that we've had to plead like the psalmist here? Have to be those communications to our hearts? Oh, I believe this, there will be those times when this will be tested, when this will be tried, when we shall wonder whether we know anything at all, whether we really possess the root of the matter within our soul. But then, as the Lord brings us, and as the Lord favors us, and if the Lord has spoken to us, I believe there will be times when we shall be taken back to this. And we shall say with the psalmist here, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. When the Lord is pleased to put his afflicting hand upon his people, those of you who have known occasions in your life when you have been sorely afflicted, any of you here this evening who have been brought in your soul's feelings very near the grave, very near to death, those of you here tonight who have known this will have known the reality, the solemnity of it in your soul's experience. When the Lord brings a soul down and brings them very feelingly near to their end, I know this from experience, that as this is known, there will be that looking within, there will be that exercise. Am I ready to meet God? Do I really possess that little stand? Have I a real religion? And then if we are favored to consider if we have any hope at all, if there have been those communications from the Lord, we shall, I believe, be brought to this. Oh Lord, confirm my hope. Confirm my hope for the eternal life. Well, there's nothing that can comfort poor souls in affliction but this. Oh, there's nothing that can comfort a dying person but the word of God being made known, being reminded, that as they are favored again, to have that witness. Yes, I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given, or happy, but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. But have we ever been able to say with assurance, it is well? Amen.
The good craft is expected to preach next door today morning. The friend can nurse her again next door today evening. The field, Mr. Armfield, is not going to expect to preach on Friday evening of next week. It is heard the singing hymn number 402.
tonight, Lord's Day, we would ask that thou wilt graciously help thine aged servant expectantly on Sunday morn. And Lord, could it please thee to so gather us together in thee that thy holy day may be glorified, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. May the grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, with the communion